on digital, satellite and online. 96-99 RTE Lyric FM, where life sounds better.
Renée Zellweger, welcome to Movies and Musicals and congratulations on your stunning performance in Judy.
Thank you.
The first thing, I remember seeing the image of you initially as Judy and then the trailer, and my next question was going to be, is Renée doing her own singing? I was so thrilled you were, and I wondered about capturing Judy in performance, not just mimicking her, because as we know, she sang from the heart. How did you do it?
Oh, wow, that's a really good question. You know, it felt like, I don't know, it was this, the whole process was this shared series of experiments with the different departments. And so her essence felt very much alive on that set every day. Every day her music was playing. We would be listening to vocal recordings. We would listen to interviews that she'd given or be watching bits from her television show. And I think before long, we were all sort of wearing the spirit of Judy and listening to, you know, being immersed in her legacy in that way. I think things just sort of became very familiar. I think they sort of became habit just out of this ongoing conversation.
It's interesting looking at this part of her life. On paper, mm-hmm. it can just seem addiction issues, custody issues, no money, mm-hmm. no home. Was part of this for you to show the human side of her, to show Judy as a human being?
Very important to me. Very important to me. And I was thrilled when I met with Rupert Gould, the director, and David Livingstone, the producer, to understand what was motivating them to want to tell this story. You know, Rupert, who is a theater director, has been up close with performers for such a long time. And he wanted to recognize the cost of performance, especially in a person who performed on such a high level for so many decades without stopping. I mean, what does that look like, especially at a time when women had no agency over the professional decisions that are being made for them and the consequences of the choices that are being made for them, especially for Judy at such a young age. And for me, the opportunity to sort of contextualize the circumstances of her life, you know, to subvert the notion that she was tragic. Because there's always more to a story, isn't there?
Exactly, exactly. We have to mention Irish actress Jessie Buckley alongside you in this movie, playing Judy's assistant. Looks
Talk
like you got on like a
treasures.
House on fire.
She's incredible. She's incredible. I mean, never mind that she's a superstar. And never mind that she sings like, you know, nobody's business. But she's a wonderful person.
And her role, I mean, the assistant to Judy, literally mm-hmm. pushing her on that first night, an important person in her life.
Rosalind, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly. she was around, you know. We spoke with her and met her. She's regal. She's exquisite. What a wonderful storyteller.
I remember watching you in Toronto when the premiere happened, and you were quite overcome with the standing ovation, but I can understand why, because you never know, do you, before you put a movie in front of an audience, how they're going to react.
No, and we only finished a couple of months ago with respect to the record and post-production and everything else. So it'd been this ongoing, you know, process for a couple of years. And you just, I don't know, the self-imposed sense of responsibility to not get it wrong. And just thinking about all of the things that could very definitely potentially go very wrong. And then in that moment realizing, oh, wait, this is something that's going to be shared. It's not this insular experiment that we were sharing for all of this time.
And relief, they love it.
It was just so nice, because this whole thing felt like a fluid, ongoing celebration of Judy. And it felt like, oh my gosh, they joined in the expression of love for her in that moment. And it was just so joyous.
A final question, Renée. Your favorite Judy song to sing in this movie?
Oh, I liked The Man That Got Away, which didn't quite make the film, but I loved The Man That Got Away and the experience of sharing Rainbow with the actors who played the audience at the Hackney Empire after filming all of those performance sequences and sharing stories and celebrating her together to then recreate that moment in time. It was the moment I won't forget.
Well, beautiful choices. Congratulations again, Renée Zellweger. Thank you for
Thanks
joining
so
us.
Thanks so much. It's nice to
Thank
see you.
You.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Judy, this is our band leader, Bert Rhodes. Bert, Judy.
It's an honor to be working with you, Miss Garland. I've been an admirer for a long time.
Well, I like this one. He can stay.
The whole town's talking about you.
Oh, well, let's not well on that.
Oh, no, it's completely sold out. Mm-hmm.
Miss Garland, do you need anything or should we dive in?
You know, it's really damp in here. I don't think rehearsing is a good idea.
Right.
Well, I have all your charts. Are there any changes you might like to make?
No, everything the same.
Is there anything to discuss then?
Sweetheart, that's up to you. I don't particularly need to discuss anything.
Judy, I'm afraid the critics will review opening night.
Sure. Of course.
It's tomorrow.
I'd like to rest.
Rupert Gould, welcome to Movies and Musicals and congratulations on Judy. I was thinking, coming over today, just all the different biopics we've had of late, and we had, say, Taron Egerton in Rocketman, who did his own singing, but then Bohemian Rhapsody, they used Freddie Mercury. I'm wondering, for you, did your leading lady have to sing? Was that a must?
It's so strange, that, because there was a time, I remember, it seems like years ago, when we did think, oh, well, maybe we'll use Judy Garland's original recordings, and what are they going to be like, or will we get someone to come and sing as Judy Garland and dub that on? So we must have had those conversations at some point, but I remember saying to Renee, you know, I think it would be great if you could sing, and obviously you do sing, and she was sort of apprehensive about it, but did some work, and then she came over, and then it was as much, I mean, she sings brilliantly, and she's got a lovely, lovely voice, but it was as much watching her sing that made me think, I just don't think we're going to recreate this if we don't have it really as her own voice, and I'm so glad that's the choice we made.
Yeah, what a leading lady you have. Everyone has adored her in this role. Tell me more about those conversations you had with her in terms of performance, because she doesn't just impersonate, she embodies Judy, doesn't she?
Yeah, I mean, I said, actually, I don't want an impression. I really don't want, I said that the last 10 minutes. I was lucky enough to, my background's more in theatre, and I've done a few shows with that were about real people, and I sort of learned from that actually, however accurate you are, within about 10 minutes, that can become a bit sterile if you don't feel the actor's inner life going on as well. So although we did an enormous amount of work on the look and the movement qualities and the voice and the behavior, watched all the stuff that we could find on YouTube and all the recordings, really the last phase, and actually the shoot, was very much more about stopping her doing too much of it, actually, and saying, you know, I don't want to see Judy, I want to see you, Renee, because trust us that Judy's there now.
Okay. I want to talk about the screenplay, because it's very much inspired by a stage play, but then Tom Edge wrote the screenplay, sort of a mixture of fact and fiction, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, most of it is factual, but then there are a few imagining leaps as well, yeah.
Yeah, so people will know that going in. Judy Garland performed in my hometown in Dublin in 1951, and people still talk about it, and the Theatre Royal, that's sadly no longer there. Uh-huh. Bringing us to 1968, the concert performances you show, sometimes she's on it, sometimes she's extraordinary, and then there are those horrible moments where, you know, the crowd are throwing their bridles at her. Is that as it was? Was it up and down for her?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I spoke to... I actually worked for the theatre producer Cameron McIntosh a few years ago, and I know him a bit, and he had said he'd been there for the performances, and I was talking to him about it, and he said that when she began that run, there was a great excitement about this big star being in London, but then as word got out that you were either going to get an amazing night or a sort of car crash, it became a sort of spectator sport in a way, in a kind of awful gladiatorial sense, and you know, she was off sometimes, she'd be incredibly late, she'd be very, very drunk, or mesmerizingly brilliant and hilarious, and, you know, vocally pure, and you know, that was the sort of the roulette game you played with going to watch her.
As you said, you were very much renowned as a theatre director, particularly for Shakespearean productions, and you mentioned the musical there, Oliver, in 2009 in the West End. Mm. It strikes me with this, Rupert, that you were able to sort of have the sadness of a Shakespearean tragedy, but you could do the musicals as well. Did you love those those two scenarios?
Well, yeah, I think probably I put too much musical material into my Shakespeare and too much Shakespeare into my musicals, but people have asked me that. For me, it was more actually less about the work I've made on stage than sort of being in rehearsal rooms, actually, and having seen actually Michael Gambon, who's in the film. I did a show with him at the Gate in Dublin a few years ago.
What show was that?
It was No Man's Land, Pentaplay.
Yeah.
And we had a wonderful time there. But I remember being in Dublin, actually, and rehearsing once, and Michael had been sort of struggling a bit with his lines and not certain about doing it. And then he's just suddenly opened up on this incredible Pinter speech. It was like 5-minute aria. I've never been in the room. It was just a breathtaking inspiration, and I think it was actually sort of that experience of being very close to actors in a rehearsal room that made me sort of want to try and capture that intimacy on film as well. And the backstage stuff as well. I mean, I love directing. Of course, I loved all the show busy stuff. But actually being able to kind of communicate what it is like backstage, the pressure, the nerves, the sort of humdrum, and the glamour sometimes of the performer's life, that was, I suppose, sort of in my early life history.
We were delighted to see Irish actress Jessie Buckley in this film, opposite Renee. She's super in it. And what an important role, but this is somebody who's still alive. So I presume with Roslyn, Judy's assistant, you were able to ask her literally how it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was a mine of information about what went on with it and had an interesting and sort of complex relation with Judy herself, which is sort of what we're reflecting in the film. But what I love about Jessie is she has this wonderful generosity of spirit. Rosalind, and the character of Rosalind, which is nothing like the real Rosalind Wilder, but the character in the movie is a little bit waspish and judgmental. And I guess there's a sort of, she goes on a conversion story, really, a sort of Damascene moment of realizing that actually this difficult woman she's having to handle turns out to be a much bigger soul than she'd realized. And, I adore Jessie's work anyway, and I've known her for years, but I just think she's magical in the film.
A final question for audiences watching Judy in 2019, 50th anniversary of Judy's death, 80th anniversary since The Wizard of Oz. As the credits roll, what do you want them to take away from this film?
That she was special, I suppose, that Judy was, she was a rebel, and she bucked the system at some times and was challenging to the system and didn't play by the rules and embraced outsiders and people who struggled in parts of their lives but had something to offer. And I think, you know, in these times, I think that's a great role model, more than the sort of perfect polished star. She was a sort of, because she had this unflinching honesty and you know, despite all the setbacks, she did keep coming back. And there's sort of hope there in amongst the sort of tragedy of her story.
Rupert, thank you very much.
Thank you.
On digital, satellite and online, 96 to 99 RTE Lyric FM, where life sounds better.